As you come and listen today, I encourage you, before you sit down and listen to this recording, to maybe stop it for a moment and grab some bread, some wine or grape juice if you have it, and set it up, because part of this teaching today, I actually want you to enter into this story by sharing communion with us. So make sure you have some bread and juice as we come and listen to Luke 22. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we want to pause right now and ask that you'd be with us. With us as we come to your word. With us as we worship you. I thank you, God, that you are not bound to one place or time, but that you can be with all of us as we are scattered across different houses and apartments and places, God. Would your spirit be knitting us together as we come to be shaped by you this morning? We commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's just business as usual. Nothing ever really changes. We just carry on like we have always done. That's how I used to think. And I wonder if that was the mode the disciples were operating in as well. Here comes the Passover once more, the same old festival that we have been celebrating since we were kids, the same old festival we have been celebrating as a people for hundreds of years, the same old preparations, the same old story repeated year in and year out, the same old meal. The disciples are sharing a Passover meal with Jesus. And as they relax, bellies full, reclining in their chairs, Jesus says, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." It's just business as usual. Nothing is going to change. We will just carry on like we have always done. Why is Jesus talking about suffering? Who knows? It doesn't matter. Just look like we understand. Jesus picks up his cup and gives thanks to God. Can I invite you to lift up your cup with me as we hear Jesus' next words? "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Let's drink together. Then Jesus took some bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them. Can I invite you to break your bread apart as well, as we hear Jesus say, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat together. These are familiar words to many of us, but not to Jesus' disciples sitting in that upper room. He's changing things, changing the way Passover is meant to be celebrated. He takes up the cup a final time. You might also want to fill up your cup if you need to. Jesus says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. but the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays me. Let's drink together. The whole table is talking at this point. A new covenant? What do you mean? There's only the one covenant, isn't there? The agreement that was established between Yahweh and the people of Israel when he rescued them as slaves out of Egypt. This is what the Passover meal celebrates, the blood of lambs that had to be spilled to bring their release. Yahweh called Israel to be his people, and they committed themselves to serving this God. What does Jesus mean, a new covenant? What does he mean, his blood poured out? It sounds like he could be in danger. It sounds like there could be a person in this room who would give him up to the authorities. No. It's just business as usual. Nothing ever really changes. We just carry on like we have always done. They calm themselves down, backing away from such questions, and instead start to argue amongst themselves over which of them is the greatest. Jesus interrupts their argument with these words. The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. Jesus wants his disciples to be different, to not just act in the usual way, but to see that power and real change comes through service. Just as Jesus has lived, he says, serve and you will receive the kingdom. You will eat and drink at the banquet I'm throwing in God's kingdom. Jesus promises these 12 disciples that they will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel if they serve. The disciples nod. Of course we will serve. This feels more like it. We've got this. This is what always happens. Here is Jesus teaching in his peculiar and persuasive way, challenging them. Business as usual. Then Jesus directly addresses one of his closest friends, Simon, and says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Simon tries to reassure Jesus, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. But Jesus is not reassured or convinced by his words. He tells Simon that this very night he will deny knowing Jesus three times until the rooster crows. This is not business as usual for Jesus. This is not like the time when he sent the disciples to the towns and villages with nothing on them. No purses, bags, or sandals. Do you remember that time? They went out announcing to the towns and villages that God was near, that Jesus was coming, and many towns welcomed them in, and the disciples got to see people healed, demons cast out. Now Jesus says to do the opposite. If you have a purse, take it. If you have a bag, bring it. Get a sword, sell your cloak if you need to, and buy one because the times are dangerous. Now, Jesus will be considered a criminal, fulfilling the words of Israel's prophets, fulfilling particularly the words found in Isaiah. The disciples nod, but they're starting to feel a little unsure, a little uneasy. They leave their dinner behind and head to the Mount of Olives. It's already late in the night, but Jesus wants to pray. He tells his disciples, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." Jesus keeps walking on a little further from them, and then he kneels and prays as well. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel appears briefly to strengthen him. He is in utter despair, desperately praying. His sweat is like drops of blood. And yet when he returns to his disciples, he sees that they have all fallen asleep. It's too much for them. It's like they can't bear to watch and realize that this is not business as usual. Something significant is coming together. The last time an angel appeared was at the birth of Jesus, and now one pops up here. Jesus has never broken down like this, not when he fasted for 40 days in the desert and then encountered Satan, not when his own town tried to throw him off a cliff after hearing his teaching, not when a demon-possessed man ran towards him or a storm threatened to capsize their boat. But here he is, barely holding it together, and his disciples are asleep, like there's nothing strange about being here with Jesus in the dead of night. He wakes them up. He wakes them up just as a crowd emerges out of the darkness, and at the front of the crowd is Judas. The disciples rub their eyes. Hang on, when did Judas leave them? They're confused. He was at the Passover meal, and now here he is heading to Jesus and kissing him. And then the disciples see the mob and finally realize they are in danger, and they respond as people usually respond, with their swords out, ready to fight. In fact, one does strike the servant of the high priest, slices off his right ear, but Jesus shouts, "No more," and heals the servant. Jesus addresses the mob. "Am I leading a rebellion that you've come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." They seize Jesus and lead him to the high priest's residence. The disciples scatter in fear of their lives, except for Peter, who follows at a distance and lingers near a fire in the high priest's courtyard. A servant sees him and says, "That man was with Jesus." But Peter denies it. "What? I don't know him." A little later, another person points at him and says, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," replies Peter. An hour later, another person accuses him. "Certainly you are with him. You're a Galilean, just like him." Agitated, Peter says, "I don't know what you are talking about." He turns away from the fire, and there is Jesus in the same courtyard looking at him. And there is the rooster crowing, and Peter remembers what Jesus said to him back at the Passover meal, which feels like a lifetime ago now. And he begins to cry. This is not business as usual. They've arrested Jesus. They have arrested God's anointed one, the Messiah, and they are mocking and beating him up until he looks almost unrecognizable. It won't be just business as usual when we gather this year to remember and celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus. We've been reminded over the last few weeks of how quickly things can change, how things can suddenly become dangerous and be turned upside down, and our first reaction might be to deny it. Just keep trying to carry on as we've always done. Ignore all the signs that are saying otherwise. But really, it hasn't been business as usual since that night when Jesus shared his last Passover meal with his disciples. To prepare them, he gave them bread and juice to remember. To remember that there is a new covenant opening up between God and us, a new kingdom. And those who want to be part of this kingdom are called to serve, to pray that they will not fall into temptation. because there'll be times when we will be betrayed, times when we'll be let down by others. There'll be times when we are utterly alone, when injustice will happen, when death will be close by. But the good news is we follow a God, a Messiah, a Savior who has walked through such times himself and walks with us now. Do not be afraid. Part of the journey is realizing business as usual is not enough anyway. There is something better coming. If you follow Christ, die with Christ, you will be raised with Christ too.